Kia ora koutou, ko Ruben Raj Aho, and welcome to episode 13 of the Bad Monkey Music Show. And the Bad Monkey is proud to be part of the Radio 13 Music Collective. You can find out all about us at radio13.co.nz. As always, we are broadcasting live today from the Sky Tower here in Auckland over 104.6 FM and streaming live via planetaudio.org.nz. Now, last Sunday, the Bad Monkey spoke with members of Imperfect Offering, New Zealand's very own band dedicated to the Leonard Cohen experience. So check them out. They are playing tours across the New Zealand islands. So look up their homepage, look at radio13.co.nz, and you'll find links to their upcoming shows. Now, today is a show dedicated to a legend, a rock god in many ways. Today we celebrate the music of Alice Cooper, and I have Boyle and I also have Roger from the Radio 13 Collective in the studio with me today to share memories of Vincent Furnier the Man, but more, Alice Cooper, the all-father of shock rock. Hey guys, how are you doing?
Kia ora Ruben, how are you?
Kia ora, how are you doing? I just saw you quite a few hours ago, didn't I?
Yeah, we were playing last night, so still got that little husky voice going on.
Looks like you carried on the party after.
A little.
And what were you up to, Roger, last night? Were you being nice and well-behaved?
Yeah, quiet night at home last night, Ruben. Good afternoon, nice to see you. You're not wearing one of Alice Cooper's snakes around your neck, are you?
No, I was contemplating and getting a live snake, you know, to show my dedication to the man, but no, I couldn't catch one.
I thought maybe you were just pleased to see me.
Put it this way, I'll be phoning in on that basis.
Brilliant. Well, it looks like it's going to be another crazy show here, The Bad Monkey. And we are going to start off with one of Alice Cooper's greatest tracks just to kick off the ceremonies. Whoa.
Making all the noise.
Well, that's a fucking song to get you out of bed this fucking Sunday, isn't it?
Well, if you put it that way, Ruben, definitely. I can't imagine a teenage film in the 80s not having that track playing somewhere during the course of the film.
Yeah, I tell you, he's definitely. This is like a song he always plays in all his shows, and all the listeners out there, you get to see Alice Cooper when he comes back to New Zealand, 20th of February to play Trust Arena, and the 22nd of February at the Horncastle Arena in Christchurch. And we'll tell you more about these upcoming shows later. But I'm going to direct my questions now to the lads here with me. What do you know of the God Alice Cooper?
That song was the song that got me out of school.
Oh, did it?
This is set 1972.
Well, you got kicked out.
A light. I should have been kicked out. I finished school in 1971, and 72 was the year I went to university. But so that was the song that lit up that year.
Oh, yeah.
It was just so relevant to people of my tender age.
And what do you remember of Alice at that time in the 70s? I mean, a lot of people compare him to Ozzy Osbourne, right? I mean, that sort of genre of classic rock.
The Snakes. I remember the Snakes.
He was good. I mean, I didn't really get into him at all until the 80s. So a mate of mine, Murray Gill and Walter King, one night they put on Flush the 80s. And I remember a track called Aspirin, or something like that.
Right.
I think it's along those lines. And made me go back and look through kind of what he was doing. And, you know, yeah, Ozzy Osbourne would be a similar genre or stage goth rock kind of sound.
Yeah, exactly.
He really put pantomime back into rock.
That's right. Yep.
A bit like Peter Gabriel in the 60s, right? And then he came through and his stages became more elaborate as he started smoking or inhaling more substances during that period of time, I suspect.
But Ozzy at the time was still very much part of... what's the band?
Black Sabbath.
That's Black Sabbath.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would argue that Vince, inspired Ozzy to do what he did later.
Very much so. I think definitely Vince or Alice Cooper was a pioneer in many respects. But would we agree that he was also someone who put the Detroit rock sound on the map?
Well, that's a very good point, because guess who's coming with him on the tour next year, part of the MC5,
that's
which
right.
the original Detroit punks.
Yes.
So that's really exciting.
Excellent. Yeah.
You know,
Wayne Kramer, I think.
Yeah, Wayne Kramer. I hadn't heard of MC5 until a couple of them popped up on Alejandro Escovedo's latest album.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Done with the punk guys from Italy. So that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, excellent.
So let's not forget that Alice Cooper at that stage was the band. He was still Vince. He didn't take up the name until he left the band.
Right.
Which was just a couple of years later, so 75, 76, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So Alice Cooper that we knew was Alice Cooper the band, with all the theatrics and just this great rock and roll.
Yeah, and really a good reflection of that rock sound at that point, right, the early 70s.
Yeah.
With a bit of a blues sort of infused in it. Yeah, that was pretty cool. And who were the band? Do you know any of the band members who were playing in the original lineup?
There was a guy Dunaway, but Steve Wagner and Dick Wagner and Steve Hunter were in and around that band. Those two guys play what I reckon is the greatest introduction to a song, the greatest guitar solo introduction to a song in the history of music, which is the introduction to Lou Reed's Sweet Jane Live.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw them when I saw Lou Reed in Christchurch in 1971 or two, they were with him.
That was
fantastic. So this is about that time.
Yeah.
And then I think they supported Alice when he became Alice on his first solo album.
So speaking of Alice, now he is also, as we know, someone who loves a couple of games of golf, right? And
he's got a scratch handicap, my understanding is, so he can hit the ball pretty well.
He's about five, which is pretty bloody good.
Wow.
So, yeah, he gave up his chemical addictions for golf addiction. And as a golfer, I understand that completely. You know, I played golf with him once.
Oh, did you?
20 years ago.
Really? You're not smoking substances yourself, no, are you?
I wasn't, no. I was far from it. Probably I mean, not. I was attending a healthcare conference in Phoenix, Arizona.
You're not rattling skeletons here. You're pulling snakes out of your pocket.
This is gospel truth.
Gospel truth, according to Roger Bowie.
He did come from a religious family. He was in the in the choir in the church in his youth. So you probably connect well with that, Roger.
So
tell us the story.
I was there with a group of chief executives of health funds, health insurance companies from all around the world.
Okay,
we used to get together. Just to talk about healthcare. And with me was the head of Kaiser Permanente, who's one of the biggest healthcare organizations in the United States, Dr. David Lawrence. And he says to me, "Hey, Rod," he said, this is boring, this conference. It's daylight at 5:30 in the morning here in Phoenix. Let's get out and play nine holes before the conference starts.
Okay, where about this? So you just said this is in Phoenix?
This is in Phoenix. So there's a golf course across the road.
Okay.
So we literally walk across the road, 5:30 the next morning.
Okay.
And pay our fees and hire our clubs and getting ready for golf at about 6. And I see this little guy with a ponytail in the golf shop. And I'd seen him before in Sydney a few years ago. So I knew what he looked like. And I thought, shit, that looks like Alice Cooper. So I went and said, "Hey, Dave, I think I've just seen Alice Cooper in the golf shop." And he looks at me rather quizzically as if to say, "Who the fuck's Alice?"
Together, two kids in the park, got our initials deep in the bark. Me and Alice, and she walks through the door with her head held high. Just for a moment, I caught her eye. It was the big limousine pulled slowly at Alice's drive.
I just couldn't resist that, Roger. I mean,
I can't believe you guys did. I'm just embarrassed tonight. For anyone that's listening, I had nothing to do with that at all.
So Dave Lawrence didn't have a clue who Alice Cooper was, right? So so I said, "Oh, he's a famous rock star." Anyway, we forget about it for a moment. We walk down to the, it's quite a little walk to the first tee, and there he is at the first tee waiting on us. He says, "Hey, guys."
He says,
"Do you mind if I join you?" You know, he says, "I've just flown in from Paris overnight, and I've been recording with Roger Daltrey." And
As you do.
And this is my golf club, and here I am. Can I join you? And we said, of course you can join us. So I do the introductions, and then Dave says to him, "Well, you know, what do I call you?" And he says, "Wait for it. You can call me Al."
Oh, my God. Seriously, this is getting worse. You don't need me here at all.
A man walks down the street. He says, "Why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard. Bone digger, bone digger. Dogs in the moonlight, far away, my well-lit door. Mr. Beer Melly, get these mutts away from me, you know. I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al." A man walks down
down the street, he says... Again, I couldn't resist it, so not that I want to interrupt your golfing story there, Roger.
I thought you'd finished, Roger. There's still more to come.
I'll talk about the golf game a little later on. Let's hear some Alice Cooper, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, you think? Come on. Just give us a little bit more. Give us a little bit more story before I play.
Well, he's a good golfer, and we're on the third or fourth tee. I can't remember. He pointed out this house at the far end of the hole, and he said, "See that house down there?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's Glenn Campbell's house, right?" And then he proceeds to hit the worst shot he hit on the entire nine holes that we played with him, just a proper grubber. A worm burner, we would call it.
Oh, shit.
And I said to him, country music getting to you, Al? and he laughed. But, of course, as it turned out, he and Glenn Campbell were great friends. They used to play golf together, and they go back, way back, to Glenn Campbell's days in the Wrecking Crew. And he apparently was a bigger cocaine snorter than any of them. You know.
Well, for the love of golf, here is another Alice Cooper classic.
Get out of this place.
The kind of rock sound that takes me way back, man. Way back. Motorcycles and leather jackets, man, don't you think?
It's out there.
Is that what you come up with?
Well, you were just thinking,
oh, shit.
I was thinking, I haven't got a leather motorcycle jacket or a motorcycle, actually. So,
damn.
No, I wasn't reminiscing of that. It was more of the concert, probably, that I saw in 2017.
Did he play that song?
Of course. It was. I'm just looking at the track list, and he threw that one in at number six.
Ooh.
During a 20-track concert.
My goodness.
Extravaganza.
It's always an extravaganza with Alice Cooper.
He had a set to die for and a band to die for as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yes, yes, we were talking about that. But before that, let's try and think of...
You're not talking about a Stevie Nicks type experience, are you?
No, I don't know why you'd want to say that, Roger.
Well, that experience was certainly blonde, I can tell you that. But what did Alice Cooper inspire? I mean, what are some of the kind of things that we see today that we take for granted that, you know, was really founded and had its roots with... what Alice did.
It reminds me of Marilyn Manson. I mean, there's a character that actually a mate of mine, Wazza, and I went to in the Wellington Town Hall. If you think of the Muppets, and you got those two old men up the top looking down, that's exactly what we were. We were right on the edge looking down on the sea, this black kind of oil slick of darkness, and then this massive, you know, big sound coming from the stage. I tell you what, it was still one of my favourite concerts of all time. But that would be a guy that clearly must have got some insights from the man.
Oh, definitely. And I would have to also say Rob Zombie to quite an extent.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the same theatrics and the makeup, and yeah. Goodness, maybe even Kiss picked a little bit up from him, perhaps, as well. Who knows?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, Roger, this was your time now with Kiss, right? So you've seen your share of
Kiss.
Never been
kissed.
You've never been kissed.
Never been kissed.
But interestingly, both these bands try with their sort of theatrics, right? I mean, there's massive stage productions, pyrotechnics, makeup and stuff. Which would you prefer, actually, if you had to compare and go to both gigs on the same night, you had to choose one? Would it be a Kiss or Alice Cooper gig?
Well, I haven't been to Kiss. But I am going at the end of this year.
Yes.
Again, it was with the two same guys that we went, Alice Cooper, so Dave and Wazza, we're going, and I'll be able to answer that question after.
Okay. I never saw Kiss, so for me, clearly, it would have been Alice Cooper, but I've already said this. I think Ozzy Osbourne owes a lot to the man.
Right.
And, you know, who influenced who? Because if you go back across the ditch in those early 70s, it's David. It's Bowie that's doing all this stuff.
Right.
And it's Roxy Music that's doing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Genesis that's doing all this stuff. Not quite the same sound, but the same visual impact.
Right, yes.
So, you know, it's a really early 70s scene that he came into.
Yeah, you could also say he heralded in the sort of glam rock, new wave sort of era as well.
You know, you're absolutely right. You can see that in any of the writings around his music and how, you know, that flamboyance kind of cascaded through with the likes of T-Rex and other artists like that.
Yes, that's right.
So, yeah. There's so many influences from each side of the coin on that
mm-hmm,
one. So.
Yes.
But, yeah.
And from a Hollywood perspective as well, you know, those B-grade movies that we so love, right, with the blood and the gore and all that. I would say that there's a lot of it also that's either stems from or evolved from Mr. Cooper.
Totally. He acted in a few of those terrible movies as well. And he fitted in really perfectly, I would have thought. So that and, you know, his odd appearance in the likes of Wayne's World, which kind of regenerated his appeal to some extent, much like Queen, that a movie like that and seeing the stage and then the stage persona and then actually and literally seeing what he was like behind the stage, an articulate, smart, incredibly engaging individual was very interesting and, we're not worthy, would be probably fair to say.
I mean,
I bet Tarantino loves Alice Cooper.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yes.
Without a doubt. You know, if we could get Elvira and Alice Cooper in a show, wouldn't that be cool, huh?
It would be an interesting show.
It would be an interesting show. Yeah. Or maybe a remake of The Addams Family and Alice shows up.
Yep. It's a lost uncle. Or the uncle the family didn't want to talk about.
That's right. Fester. Fester.
<Yeah.
laughs> Or Fester's brother that we
brother's
know.
Auntie, yeah.
And I'm a big comic book fan as well, and I remember there was a short mini-series that I think it was DC or Marvel, one of the two. Or it was maybe one of the independents that also did an Alice Cooper series of comics.
Really?
Obviously, it touches on the undead and all that kind of funny stuff.
Yes.
But coming back to that, I mean, there were also some controversial themes that Alice Cooper did not steer away from. Sexual harassment, even loving the dead to quite a lot of extent. Didn't they start this off with that controversy?
Well, there was, I mean, the big misnomer around this one was when someone threw a chicken at one of his stage shows and everyone thought he kind of might have bit his head off or ripped it up, but actually he got such a fright and he thought the chicken would be able to fly through it, threw it out into the auditorium and it landed, dare I say, I read this, that it landed in the wheelchair area and the people there ripped up the chicken themselves. So,
oh,
so,
goodness.
But yeah, the theatrics, the guillotine, the electric chains.
Frank Zappa heard about that story. Frank Zappa heard that story and said, I want to meet these guys. And he sent them a message and said, meet me. He said, come around to my place at 7 o'clock. And they thought it was 7 in the morning, not 7 in the evening. So they turned up at 7 in the morning. And he thought, oh, these guys must be something if they're coming to see me at 7 in the morning. Signed them up.
Yeah.
All for a headless chicken.
There you go. Well, if your house is on fire, you want to call Alice Cooper.
Baby, not one of wood or stone. Why?
House of Fire from the Trash album, and that was actually co-written with Joan Jett. And I think this was the time when Alice Cooper kind of made his comeback, isn't it, in the 80s.
Yeah,
with the Trash album.
He found the bottom very quickly in the 80s, literally, physically, mentally. What I read, he went through some pretty tough times and checked into a rehab place, and this, I think from memory, this is the album that he came out with a clean slate, and it sounds still pretty fresh today, actually. You know, Poison and those, and the collaborations with other artists really made that one quite a popular one for 89.
This is actually the time when I kind of got into Alice Cooper. I mean,
yeah,
that's the right age, you know. I was in my late teens and a bit of a reckless kind of person, and I mean, his music just appealed to me, right?
Yeah.
It's all about the taboo subjects, you know, out there, everything. And this is a classic rocker, so yeah, he very quickly became a role model for my wardrobe at that time.
Really? That's quite a dark wardrobe then.
Well, it was a nice evolution from my dark wardrobe that was akin to The Cure to now something more veteran, more pioneer, more classical, which is Chains. How about you, Roger?
He went off my radar in the 80s, to be honest.
Okay.
And I mean, 89, I was in Singapore, working in Singapore.
All right, okay.
So that's when CDs came out, so that mm-hmm. was an exciting time. But I also, what was I doing at that time? I bought my first Lynn Sondick LP player, which
ooh.
I still have
oh my God.
To this day, and it plays all my vinyl. So no, he went off my radar, and of course we discovered he actually went off the rails twice in his career, and then came back a sober man, a man of faith, and all along he'd been sneaking out and playing golf, but I think he writes about he's giving up the drug addiction for golf addiction. throughout his career. And that's so you have this great juxtaposition of a man of faith, golf playing sober character, dressing up and letting rip every night on stage,
playing with snakes and talking about loving the dead. Yes,
interesting times
it is. And how about you?
Yeah, 89. I was in Sprayed in Christchurch and just kind of got into my first house. Was recording on VHS taped in those days. There was no MTV, so any music show that was going on, I'd be recording it. And Poison was one of the videos that actually kind of grabbed my fancy for a whole lot of reasons. But I was also reminiscing during 89. Iggy Pop had come over to Christchurch and played at the Addington, and also in 89, Rattle and Hum with B.B. King and U2. That was a concert. Sublime. I thought it was sublime. We nearly missed B.B. King. A very good friend of mine was having lady troubles at that time. And he nearly made us miss, but he recovered. We had a hell of a night. And, they were kind of my memories of 89. That and nightclubbing and playing tennis. That was about it.
Nightclubbing and tennis.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You must have never slept.
At the same time, Boyle?
Occasionally. You know, I wouldn't recommend it.
Can you imagine?
Roger, when you're on the dance floor with a racket, but, you know.
And Boyle in his tennis shorts. Oh, God. Dancing to Alice Cooper.
Mate, they were in those days. But, yeah, but Alice Cooper would have been on the dance floor with, because Poison was a probably one of his most commercial tracks,
yeah.
And it hit MTV with absolute gusto, and I'm pretty sure that it had a few miles on the stage when I was there.
Did you have something to?
I was just
reminiscing.
Still shocked about the shorts.
This is the man that took the piss out of me earlier for playing Smokey, and now he's evoking images of playing tennis in a nightclub.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I saved a few balls up in my day there, Roger.
Oh God. Well, at that time, 89, 91, here I am, my leather jackets and motorcycles, climbing up into a lady's bedroom while her father's downstairs and making out to this song.
You're poison running through my veins.
just received a text here from Simon William Todd, who was making out to that song, so I felt the need to also play another one for Simon William Todd, one of our DJs, because I know his loves a loaded gun.
Somebody saw you at the station. You had your suitcase in your hand. You didn't give no information. You walked off with another man. I'm always standing in the shadows, baby. I watched you give yourself away. You take them home into your bedroom. Day. I tried to look the other way and fake it. You push me to the limit. I can't take it. One down, one to go. Just another bullet in the chamber. Sometimes love's a loaded gun. Red light, stop and go. What you gonna do? When you play with danger, sometimes love's a loaded gun, and it shoots to kill. Someday they'll put me in a squad car. Someday they'll throw away the key. But till that day, I'll be a mad dog. What you taught me to be. You looked into the eyes of men above you. I was the one who really tried to love you. One down, one to go. Just another bullet in the chamber. Sometimes love's a loaded gun. Red light, stop and go. What you gonna do when you play with danger? Sometimes love's a loaded gun, and it shoots to kill. Pull the trigger.
Love's a Loaded Gun from the album Hello Stupid, I remember. And that was for our DJ who wish he was here, Simon William Todd. So Alice Cooper, Old Black Eyes is back, is going to be at the Trust Arena in Auckland on the 20th of February, Horncastle Arena in Christchurch on the 22nd of February, presented by TEG Live. Tickets are available from Spark for the Auckland concert and Ticketek for Christchurch.
And a big shout out to the Mount Carmel Book Club. I feel a field trip coming on February the 20th, boys. All right. Now, while Simon William Todd's been at home playing with his 45s, we're working hard in the studio on Alice Cooper.
Exactly.
One thing you might not know is that in the 70s, during in his heyday, he used to sneak out and play golf with David Cassidy. And it had to be done.
Wow, David Cassidy.
David Cassidy. It had to be done in utmost secrecy because it wasn't entirely the right thing for either of their images.
No.
It's amazing, you know, how many, when you just dig into it a little bit, how many rock stars actually pick up the golden game of golf.
Wow.
There's many, many of them.
Would you say that whiskey led them to it, or was it the other way around?
I think it's the addiction that is golf.
That's true.
Would you believe Eddie Van Halen plays off a 5 or 6 handicap? Sammy Hagar?
Yeah.
Bob Seger? Tommy Lee from Motley Crue?
Oh, that one's hard to believe. That, yeah.
Vince Gill, who was here, big country singer, but he was here recently replacing Glenn Frey.
Oh, yes, that's
right. Eagles?
Mm-hmm.
He's off a scratch handicap. Oh, Glenn Frey was a golfer when he was with us. Justin Bieber plays golf.
Stop.
Fuck off.
Huey Lewis plays golf. And do you know who else has been seen on the golf course in Malibu? Rob Zimmerman.
Nice.
That I find hard to believe, but
well, clearly they're all people that got a truckload of time up their sleeve to do nothing else.
It's an addiction, man.
Yeah. I mean, I finally figured out, you know, there is a connection between the love of music and the love of golf.
Oh,
not really.
Hey, so we've got this brand new golf course opening in Auckland in a couple of weeks. It's a combination of the two golf courses that used to be the Grange and Royal Auckland. And 27 holes, Jack Nicklaus designed, latest technology. We've got like electric blankets pouring hot air in under the greens to keep them dry during the winter season. And so we're going to try and get Alice out for a game of golf. The golf club's very keen to have him.
Okay.
And I owe him one because I played golf at his course in Phoenix 20 years ago.
Fantastic.
And I've got to say, you know, he's a hell of a nice guy when you meet him. In person. I think you've had that pleasure too, Boyley.
I did, very briefly, but not during a round or two, just after a concert.
Oh, nice.
Very cool.
Nice. Well, let's hope that he will make time. He's definitely got some time in between the gigs in Auckland and Christchurch, so hopefully he'll make some time for a couple of rounds with you.
We're going to make it happen.
Yeah, definitely. So what are some of the other things that Alice Cooper's been up to? I know that he's been part of the Hollywood Vampires. I think he formed it with Johnny Depp and Joe Perry, didn't he?
He's got some, yeah. Are we going to play a bit of that? Or we?
I'm going to play a track from their latest album. They've got two albums now. I think
really?
The first one might have been just, hey, let's get together and play music for friends who died. That was the whole intent, wasn't it?
That was, yeah. It kind of captured all those well-known characters that did pass away, but with a bit more substance now.
Yes, because I know the first one was more of covers, right? So of songs of the past. But in this new album by the Hollywood Vampires, I think it's called Rise, there's a couple of tracks actually penned by Cooper himself. And now this one here is a track that features Jeff Beck and John Waters. This is called Welcome to Bushwhackers.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Bushwhackers. It's gang night, gays against guns. Halloween.
I used to drink a lot. I used to smoke a lot, still do. So what? What did you? And that's the way I'm gonna be. I used to scream a lot. I used to fight a lot, still do. Why not? Boo! That's just the way I'm built to be. Nobody tells me what to say. Nobody tells me what to do. So if you're feeling froggy, I'll slap you back in the room. Nobody tells me what to say.
a track there from the latest Hollywood Vampires album. I believe it was penned by Alice Cooper as well. What do you think of that? That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
That was kind of a mix of rockabilly rebel and a little bit of, you know, Alice and yeah, that's quite a vibrant wee number, I thought.
Jeff Beck loves rockabilly. He does rockabilly albums. I don't know whether you've heard them.
Yes.
And he loves also likes to build model hot rods. So this is straight out of that chapter. I mean, it's unmistakable Jeff Beck, and it's just fantastic to see him, you know, in the resurgence of his career, playing with Alice Cooper. Marvellous. Yeah.
Excellent. So what can we expect from the upcoming Alice Cooper shows? Because you were at the last one, right, Boydie? What did you think of that?
I was. It was in October 2017 at the Waitakere Stadium, which, as you know, is like a bloody a plane hangar. It's very hard to get good sound in there, so... But this was chock-a-blocker. It was full of all the gimmickry as well, and very, very lucky to have tickets. It gave us a chance to go on stage, check out the guillotine.
Oh, did you?
Chair, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Saw all the amount of guitars behind the desk and everything like that. It was, well, behind the main stage. The theatrics was amazing. And... look, even if you don't like Alice Cooper, you just have to go for the experience, and it was a real highlight. And luckily, as Roger mentioned before, some lucky punters like ourselves were able to get a few items signed. I think I threw him about 20 different things that I'd love him to sign, and he did. And talked a bit of golf, but. You know, he'd been on the stage for 2.5 hours, right? And then he still came back.
Wow.
None of the other band did, just him. And he was polite and courteous and kind of really thanked everyone for coming. So I'd expect, again, this show coming up in 2020 will be much like that. Same theatrics, you know. Don't take your children because they will get scared.
I would think so.
But no, it should be a blast.
Well, the inside word that I got is that his stage show is going to be even bigger than the one before. And he's going to take pieces from what I think he calls his nightmare castle, right? And he's going to also introduce the return of Franken Alice, this character who's apparently going to make a few appearances on stage. And also the Billion Dollar Baby, which is pretty frightful because I saw a couple of pictures of that freaky little thing.
Yeah, it looked like it had been run over by a truck 3 times out of a nuclear holocaust.
Exactly,
you know,
yeah.
Not a pretty thing.
No, but that, that's what you get to expect.
Yeah. It looks a bit like Simon, actually, don't you think? Just from a glance when he was younger.
If you stomp on him a few times.
And, looks like Simon does in his normal day-to-day
get up. Yeah. But we also have the pleasure of having Australian rock band Airborne, who's going to come and special and guest with them on this show as well, with MC50, which is an iteration of the classic MC5, right?
Airborne would be great. I mean,
Seen them before.
If there's a band that has replicated AC/DC, much like Greta Van Fleet and Led Zepp, you're talking about the same style of sound. They rocked, and, you know, I think the word was once they toured with AC/DC, and they were that good. AC/DC said, look, don't come on Monday because you're showing us up a little. So
that's cool.
That'll be a great combination to have.
Excellent.
It'll be a lot of fun.
And before I forget, I also want to kind of make sure all our listeners remember that the new Alice Cooper mini album is out now, called Breadcrumbs, which is a tribute to his Detroit rock origins. And it was released a couple of days ago, on the 13th of September. So it is definitely out now, so catch it before everyone else does. And get ready for the gigs there. Once again, Trust Arena, 20th of February, Horncastle Arena, 22nd, presented by TEG Live. Tickets from Spark for Auckland and Ticketek for Christchurch. Well, any last word, boys?
I can't wait. It's going to be a greatest hits. It's all the songs. We didn't play No More Mr. Nice Guy, but we're going to hear it on the 20th.
We definitely will.
Yeah. One more song, please.
Time for the outro. Wish we had more time.
See you later, Ruben. Thank you. Who said we got ourselves a Mexican standoff here, boy?
And I ain't about to run. As always, this is Radio 13. Peace and love, always. Thank you.